Chapter 1.
My name is Dalen Namoran, but most knew me as the Great Bastard, the Scourge of Nations, Daelus the Conqueror. Yes, contrary to what everyone believes, I'm not dead. This is no jest. Honestly, who would claim to be me? You'll find enough evidence in my home to prove what I say. I know this revelation will distress most people who survived my rule, enraged that I escaped punishment. But I haven't. The 20 years I've spent in hiding have been torture, where death would have offered me the rest I desire. My torment comes not from my fall from power or that I live in squalor, but because of my endless guilt. Yes, that's right. I, Daelus the Conqueror, decree I was in every way the despicable tyrant the world claims I was. I murdered, raped, pillaged, and ravaged the world all in the name of the Dawn Empire. Would you believe that in all my actions I thought I was serving the greater good? Regardless, I've come to know nothing justifies what I've done. I wish there was a way I could fix things, to go back in time and change it all, but what is done, and I'm left to hate myself more than any person alive. I cannot express in words the depths of my shame. Every hour is agony, and I would have ended my life years ago if not for the knowledge shining through my soul that I deserve such a profound form of torture. But now, my aged body fails, and death draws near, which I welcome as a long-awaited, if undeserved, gift. I could wait out the few falls I have left, but if I'm to die, I'll see it done my own way. The world should be free of Daelus the Conqueror once and for all, and to that end I plan to cast myself from the continent. I know, poetic. I leave this letter so the world will know the truth. Daelus the Conqueror died hating himself and his whole life. As meaningless as these words are, I'm sorry. I leave a world worse for my having lived in it, and go to embrace the endless hell I so rightly deserve. If I'm lucky, perhaps I'll be cast into utter darkness, and my existence destroyed. Dalen Namoran, also known as Daelus the Conqueror. Year 51 of the Fifth Day. Dalen placed the fountain pen beside his note, which lay next to the small leather-bound journal containing a brief account of his life. He had been as honest as possible, except for the part where he said the Delavian dukes had sex with goats. Dalen laughed to himself in long, grating croaks. Those stuck-up men were going to have a light-cursed time dispelling that one, especially when the comment was written alongside so many sincere confessions. Why would he lie about the dukes when he was being so honest about everything else? Because he was a bastard, of course. Just not the type of bastard the world thought he was. At least, not any more. Also, the dukes deserved it. Dalen's dark brown eyes slowly focused to his hand, which lay on the desk. Wrinkled and age-spotted, it was a constant reminder of how old he was. It was because of reminders like this that Dalen avoided his own reflection. In it was nothing but a haggard stranger whose blue hair had faded to a sickly gray, and whose face partially resembled a scrunched-up piece of paper. Dalen turned in his seat to face the never-ending stream of life-giving light shining through the windows of his home, a home fighting with Dalen to see who could be more decrepit. It was a sagging one-room structure made of crumbling brick and cluttered with the necessities of life. An aged cabinet, which sat near the door, held jars of dried fruit and meats. A few tarnished forks and blunt knives were stacked on the washing bench. There was a cast-iron stove for cooking and warmth, sitting on a slate hearth next to battered chests and a dusty bed. A sagging mezzanine hung out as a partial second story made of aged milled timber and was stacked with more chests, tools, nets, and other useful things. Small sunstones hung from the roof in iron fixtures, adding to the light from the windows. The only things in his home offering Dalin an escape from its squalor were the two benches covered in halfway repaired clocks, children's toys, and generally anything that contained cogs. Those townsfolk who had left these things with Dalin would have to find another tinker. Dalin sneered at the thought. Though he could find contentment in working with things, he hated the term tinker. He was an engineer. At least, that's what he would have become if his life hadn't gone down a much different path. Instead of designing bridges, uncovering new secrets in sunforging, or finding new ways of employing Darkstone in automations and construction, Dalin had ended up using his passion to design machines of war. That was all a day's length from what he did now. Dalin placed a hand on the back of his chair and forced his body to swivel out. With a concerted effort, he tried to push himself onto his feet. He failed and slumped back.
"You blackened useless legs!" Dalin screamed out.
He had gotten into the habit of speaking to himself over these many years. It wasn't like he had anyone else to talk to.
"I'd kick you if it wouldn't hurt so much. Not that you'd let me. Disloyal, backstabbing bastards! Do your bloody job and let me stand!"
Taking a deep breath, he heaved once, and this time rose.
"Better," Dalin grumbled once on his feet. "I really should be worried about how much I talk to my anatomy," he muttered. "But every man talks to his pisser at least a few times in his life. That I've extended the practice to other limbs isn't too strange."
Dalin laughed to himself in long croaks.
"Not too strange? Light, I'm such an idiot."
Looking down to his crotch, he added,
"You all right down there?" "Yeah, I know, stupid question, considering who you had to put up with. Your family is nuts and the neighbor's an asshole."
Dalin chuckled at that, which sounded more like he was trying to hack up phlegm. He slowly shuffled across the floor to the large cuffed justicore jacket hanging next to the door. Walking was a chore these falls and quickly drained what little energy he had. Dalin took the coat and donned it over his vest and loose-sleeved beige shirt. Moving to a bench, he took hold of the deep black piece of cubed darkstone lying there. It resisted being picked up as no light was touching its base. It may as well have been fused to the table. With his other hand, he took a shining sunstone bead from a small bowl on the desk and quickly touched it down onto the darkstone's top. The closer the bead had come to the darkstone, the more the darkstone was repulsed by the brighter light, the table having creaked under the strain. But the stone's repulsion had been nullified as soon as the sunstone touched, which had released it from the table. Dalin picked up the darkstone in two fingers at its corners, careful not to cover the sides from light, and dropped the sunstone bead back into the bowl. Dalin knew he didn't really need the darkstone. Falling through the barrier while touching sunstone would kill a person just as much, and the luminous pendant hanging under his shirt was made from just that. But Dalin was intending to kill himself, and if sunstone or darkstone would kill a man, surely touching both would be twice as effective. He never did anything by half measures. An odd thought came to Dalin.
"Has anybody ever fallen through the barrier while touching both stones? I've never heard of that happening. Is there a chance touching both stones won't kill me?"
Dalin began to cough out a croaking laugh at the absurd thought.
"Of course it will, you light-blinded fool. Thinking it won't is like believing two poisons will cancel each other out. Ha!"
With the dark stone in hand, Dalin walked to another desk and found a small wooden box. He opened it, and a stream of bright light shone out. The box was lined with sunstone, the only way darkstone could be easily transported. Dalin placed the darkstone within and latched the lid.
He then grabbed his coin pouch and slipped it into his coat's pocket. Dalen took another pouch that clinked when handled, holding even more money than the first. With difficulty, he hobbled outside. A soft breeze ruffled his coat, and the smell of fresh country air filled his lungs. Glancing to the sky, Dalen saw a black dot slowly moving westward. It was a skyship. One could always see at least a single skyship flying through the air, and they always brought a sense of awe to Dalen. He loved skyships, though he hadn't been so much as near one for years. Still, Dalen wasn't looking to spot skyships. He looked farther up to see the faint underside of the very same continent whereupon he and everyone else lived. Telos. This was a result of the top barrier of the universe. One simply couldn't exit the world when they reached its top. No. Instead, they re-entered the world from the other side. In this case, the universe's base. This had the same effect on one's line of sight, which was how Dalen could look up and see the bottom of the continent he stood upon. Dalen's eyes traveled along Telos's underside to its northern edge. Then, tracing down through the sky, in between a mirror image of Telos above and the land he stood upon, Dalen found the plummet, the large, misshaped landmass that fell through the world perpetually. A kilometer north of the continent, once the plummet reached the bottom barrier, it would re-enter the world from the top and fall all over again. This marked the length of a fall, whereby the people of Telos measured their times and seasons. Dalen surmised the plummet to be only a quarter way through its fall, meaning it was mid-high, or, in other words, noon.
"Baradin should have arrived by now," Dalen thought, grumbling.
Dalen's thoughts were interrupted as he noticed a man sitting in front of his house on what was left of a log railing. The railing made the border between his front yard and the brick-paved road running past Dalen's home. He wore the robes of a lightbringer, the preachers and servants of the light. Dalen was expecting someone, but certainly not a bringer. Hobbling to the man, who sat facing the road, Dalen called out in a disgruntled tone,
"Hey! You! What are you doing?"
The man turned to look at Dalen. He was at least in his 50s, yet still looked like a pup to Dalen's aged eyes. His face looked to have been chiseled from stone for all its sharp angles, defined jaw, and prominent chin. He was clearly fit and strong, a common trait among Chaurasians, as identified by the bringer's dark brown skin and bright yellow hair, which was cut very short and faded at the temples.
"Oh, hello there,"
the man said in a voice so clear and enunciated he might have been a stage actor. He spoke in a cultured Hamaran accent and, added with the fact that he was fully clothed, indicated that he hadn't been born in his native Chaurasian lands. That, or hadn't lived there for long. The man stood, revealing that he was half a head taller than Dalen, and looked at him with some of the most discerning eyes Dalen had ever seen. Their color a dark blue.
"I had wondered who lived here. I don't mean to intrude, but I'm waiting here for someone who'll be passing here outfall."
"Who?"
Dalen asked.
"He's a young man, though I don't know his name, only that I'm to meet him here."
Dalen's home sat beside the main road from the village, and it served as a recognizable marker, so the explanation made sense.
"All right, then," Dalen said. "I don't suppose I need to worry about a bringer causing trouble."
"Indeed,"
the Lightbringer said with a smile.
"Rather, we bringers try to bring as much brightness as we can bring."
He leaned in a bit closer and said conspiratorially, "That's why we're called bringers." Dalen frowned as if he had just tasted something foul.
"I hope that wasn't some retarded attempt at humor."
Seeing as I'm not mentally disabled, I would have to say no. It was a simple joke."
"No, if you think that was a joke, you most definitely are mentally disabled."
The bringer's mouth hung open, and he stared at Dalen, stunned. Dalen leaned in, and, in the same conspiratorial tone the bringer had used, said,
"It was a joke."
"Insults are not jokes," Dalen shrugged.
"It depends on who you insult. I once asked the Tolson ambassador if his ass was jealous of the amount of crap coming from his mouth."
Dalen croaked a chuckle.
"He nearly choked up a lung."
"The ambassador didn't have you arrested?"
"No. He wanted to keep his head."
"You threatened him as well?"
"Yep."
"And he still took no action?"
"He was too much a coward."
"I hope you don't mind me asking, but how did you find yourself in a position to insult an ambassador?"
"I wasn't a tinker my whole life. I've seen the world."
"Yes. Well, it would have surprised me if you hadn't. I mean, you're looking at the world right now, after all."
"Don't be a smartass," Dalen said, turning to make his way to the outside chair in front of his house.
Each step was a struggle.
"Would you like me to heal you of your ailments?" the bringer called out. "Consider it payment for my intrusion," he continued, walking toward Dalen.
Dalen turned back to him.
"Bringers can't heal old age."
"True, but if you're not sick, a healing will still grant you some temporary vitality."
"Sure. Go ahead,"
Dalen said, waving a hand. The bringer placed a hand on Dalen's shoulder. His skin began to glow softly as the light moved to his hand and then transferred into Dalen's body. A warmth rippled over Dalen that brought with it vigor and lucidity. Any question of this man being a true Lightbringer had just been answered. Still, even with the healing, which made him feel like he had just had a good day's rest, Dalen's body was dying. He coughed.
"See? You can't heal old age. But the revitalization is welcome."
"It's a pleasure to serve."
The rattle of a wagon announced Peridon's approach. Dalen hobbled past the bringer, surprised at the strength in his legs. The bringer followed him down the path to sit back on the log railing. Peridon's wagon was a very old darkstone machine, probably as old as Dalen himself, which was saying something. It pulled to a stop in front of Dalen's yard. The man atop had large ears and a wide mouth that formed an unfortunate appearance. Two beads hung on a length of hair to the side of his head, called a tassel. One dull white, and one a shining sunstone. This indicated Peridon had won two sword duels in the past, one against a person who had never dueled before, and another against a person who had won at least one.
"Light to you, Dalen,"
Peridon said as the soft wind failed to bother his messy reed-green hair.
"And light to you, Bringer,"
Peridon said respectfully. The Lightbringer nodded back.
"May the light brighten your fall as well."
"You're late," Dalen said.
"Sorry about that. Fergin the Donner came around making a fuss just as I was about to leave, saying my son is paying his daughter too much attention. I had to deal with that old uproot before talking to Perrinday. Not that it's wrong for him to pay courtesies to young women, mind you. He's marrying age, after all. But night come on me before I let any LaDonners marry into our family."
"Fergin's a shade's tit,"
Dalen said,
"and his kids would think half a wit is an endowment of intelligence. Light, Fergin's stupid enough to think Perrinday should marry into the LaDonners, if such a shadow ever fell on you."
"Shade, take me now,"
Perrindon said in dread. He looked to the bringer.
"Are you to accompany?"
"No, he's not," Dalen snapped. "He's waiting for someone else. Honestly, I think I might turn this place into a skyport with all the traffic I've seen infall."
Dalen ended his grumble with a hacking cough and struggled to stay on his feet.
"Easy there, old-timer,"
Peridon said, jumping off his open-topped wagon to help, his left hand keeping the longsword at his side from swinging.
"Off with you,"
Dalen spat, hitting Peridon's hand away.
I'm not so old that I can't stand on my own two legs.
Peridon looked at him with insufferable concern. Dalen hated it. He had ruled the world, and now a peasant farmer was looking down on him. Grunting, he shuffled to the other side of Peridon's wagon.
You sure you're up to traveling, Tinker?
I'm fine, shade it.
But Dalen knew the small energy he had from the bringer's healing wouldn't last. Indeed, the trip would see to that. He heaved himself up onto the wagon, which was usually an impossible feat for him. Peridon sighed and climbed aboard into the driver's seat. It was obvious the farmer didn't like Dalen. No one did. But this wasn't hatred. It was the dislike anyone had for spending time with the ill-tempered and old. Dalen didn't mean to be so perturbed by everything. It was just that everything perturbed him. He didn't think he had been so easily annoyed when he had been young, and surely people hadn't been as patronizing. Still, like it or not, Peridon had to give Dalen a ride. It was payment for Dalen fixing the very wagon he sat upon. Peridon nodded respectfully to the Lightbringer and worked the wagon's control levers. He pulled on the main throttle, which opened a hatch-like door to the darkstone driver fixed at the rear. With light now shining on the back of the stone through a few magnifying lenses, the wagon lurched forward, being pushed by the darkstone's luminous repulsion. Peridon put a hand on the large steering lever sitting in front of him to direct the wagon as it traveled. It was an amazing means of transportation, far more so than the animal-pulled wagons of old, though it was one of the simpler darkstone engines. Even in his old age, Dalen was still enthralled by this technology. Machines powered by light, a never-ending resource. Of course, it was all thanks to Darkstone's natural properties. The wagon rattled on over one of the many brick roads Dalen had seen built during his time in power. The bumpy trip didn't help Dalen's health, and he coughed and hacked in pain regularly. At least the weather was fine. Rain would have made this trip unbearable. They passed a patchwork of cultivated fields which sat over the rolling hills like a blanket. Many a farmer was out working their darkstone-powered plows, tilling the ground for the spring crops of barley, oats, beans, and potatoes. Groves of varying sizes were scattered throughout the paddocks, with many tree lines bordering the fields making windbreaks. Occasionally they passed an old ruin, most of them left over from the empires of the first day, which had ended with the first night. It was thanks to the first night that most of what stood in the distant past had been left in ruins.
"I've never been to the city before," Peridon eventually said, clearly trying to break the silence.
Dalen couldn't be bothered to respond.
"My son wanted to come along with us. I might have let him if not for that mess with Fergan's daughter. Light that boy is shading my day these falls, skipping his chores, courting air-headed nits with his own head not too far away, what with it being in the clouds so much. The lad keeps saying he wants to join the Arch-Knights."
"You wouldn't want him to be an Arch-Knight?"
Dalen asked.
"If Perrinde committed to practicing his sword more often, yes. The knights would reject him after the first week of trials with how he is at the moment. That's his problem. He keeps saying he wants all these things, but he isn't willing to work for them."
"Sounds like he just needs a good kick up the ass."
"I've tried that too. Light, it makes me wish I were an Arch-Knight so I could use their magic to fix the boy's head."
Dalen huffed.
"Light binding doesn't work like that.
But I've heard the knights can control the minds of men."
"That's a myth. I've met many Arch-Knights in my life, and as much as they've wanted to change my mind, they never could. Though some of the stories are true."
"Like what?"
"Incredible strength, speed, massive jumps. Some can fly. Some can heal incredibly fast. I've even seen one cast lightning from his hands. But they're not invincible. I've seen Arch-Knights die."
"You have?"
Peridon said with such shock his eyes looked as though they would pop out of his head.
"I lived through the fourth night, Peridon. The Shade are more than capable of killing Arch-Knights."
I wondered about that. I mean, you look old enough, but I didn't want to be rude. So, Knight, what's it like?
Dalen replied with soft-spoken words.
About as terrifying as you can imagine. Darkness all around, while being constantly hunted by flying monsters. The ever-present risk that you might turn into one if without light for too long.
You've known people who've turned?
My own parents.
Light,
Peridon said breathlessly.
Dalen, I'm so sorry. Not your fault, Peridon. And I got my revenge. With the Archknights, we fought back the Shade, killing thousands. And we brought an end to the Fourth Knight.
Wow.
Your life must have been... I can't even describe.
Dalen huffed.
That's not the half of it. Do you have any other stories? None that I really want to share.
Oh,
Peridon said, falling silent before curiosity once again got the better of him.
So, what have you got in that box there? None of your business,
Dalen said, growing tired of the conversation. Peridon pursed his lips and sniffed, looking forward. Dalen sighed and threw a small pouch into Peridon's lap that clinked as it fell.
Here, I wanted to give you that.
What's this?
Open it.
Peridon did, and his eyes widened at seeing the coin.
Dalen, I can't accept this. It's more money than I make in a year.
The pouch was full of golden quates, worth 100 grams each.
Of course you can, and you will, Dalen said. You need it, but with how bad winter was. Dalen, I put a rock in it, will you?
And Peridon did, with not the least hint of annoyance. Honestly, who would be annoyed with the man, ill-tempered and rude as he was, after he gave them a pouch full of money? Dalen wasn't going to need it, and the truth was he had more stored away back home. He had more than enough coin on his person for the ship fare. Dalen had left his home behind, and he wouldn't miss it, though it was light-blindingly difficult to leave behind his sword, Imperious. If there was anything he wanted to die with, it was his sword, like the kings of old. He could have wrapped it in a cloth so no one would recognize it, but he was too weak to carry the thing for the whole journey. So Dalen had to leave Imperius, along with everything else. The townsfolk would probably ransack the place eventually, although once finding out who he really was, they'd be just as likely to burn everything he'd ever touched. Darkstone could move exceptionally fast when enough light shone on it, and the roads Dalen had seen built were still strong and smooth, facilitating faster travel. They easily crossed 100 kilometers in a few hours, passing the 6 towns that lay alongside the road to Tremaine, though one of the towns, Limet, barely earned the title. A commanding view of the land beyond revealed itself once they crested a small hill. Tremaine sat far away in a broad valley. The city was average-sized, at least to Dalen's eyes. He'd seen most of the great metropolises of Telos in his life, and Tremaine didn't come close to any of them, especially not the nation's capital, Hydon, Dalen's former seat of power. But Dalen guessed that to the locals, Tremaine would appear to be the largest and most bustling place they'd ever seen. Tremaine had once belonged to the kingdom of Sunsen, which had declared war on Hamara at the same time as the kingdoms of Daemar and Lumas did, after Dalen had executed the queen. In return, Dalen had made sure not a single drop of noble blood remained. So devastating was his purge that many years later, when he was defeated, the lands and peoples who once belonged to those kingdoms had no royal claim or identity, and simply chose to remain with the new Hamara. Skyships spotted the sky like upside-down boats, though designed to be far more aerodynamic, with huge variance between themselves. The larger traders and carriers queued at the registry station to pass through the city's shield net. The shield was made from a net of darkstone anchors, large square blocks of stone that encased a darkstone core. With no light shining on the cores, they were fixed in the air, the very same way the tectonic darkstone mantle held the continent in place. The anchors were spaced 2 meters apart from one another in a diamond pattern that formed a dome over the city. The anchors were so close that any skyship larger than a dory couldn't fit between them. Any ship that tried to fly through the shield, separate to the openings on the ground and at the registry stations, would run into the immovable anchors and get shredded to pieces. Shield nets had been developed before Dalin came to power, but he had certainly employed them to a much larger degree than times before. They were very common, these falls. Even from this distance, Dalin could spot the two battleships patrolling the city's airspace from within the shield. They had very distinct silhouettes. The smaller personal skyships, ferries, and coaches flew much lower to the city and weren't required to land in port. What remarkable and ingenious works of engineering skyships were. Dalin had even designed a few himself, though one, the Annihilator, wasn't something he was too proud of. With skyships, man made the world a much smaller place. It was going to be a guilty pleasure to fly in one after 20 years of exile. Dalin looked back down to the city with anticipation. Apart from its fine shield, the city's defenses were woeful, only having those two battleships to protect it. With a full-sized company of dragoons and a single battleship or warship, Dalin knew he could take the city in an hour. Other commanders might have difficulty with those resources. The city did have a border patrol, shield net, and would have a decent garrison, but Dalin had done more with less.
"Now that is a sight," Peridon said, looking at the city before them. "I agree with you there," Dalin said. "But this city is nothing compared to Hydon."
Peridon reached into a pocket at his side and pulled out some red ribbon. He began tying it around his arm, but Dalin snapped at him.
"Put that away, you blackened idiot!"
A red ribbon tied around part of the body was a dueling invitation. One could be challenged to a duel without a ribbon, but unless there was sufficient cause for the challenge, there was no shame in turning it down. Ribbons also prompted official duels that would be recorded in the ranking, which were a day's length from a friendly bout.
"You sound like I'm setting up a picnic in a shade's nest. The stupidity is more comparable than you give it credit."
"I'm just looking for a duel or two," Peridon said with no small amount of bravado.
Dalin sighed. In the past, he had been by no means an exception to bragging. But now, having lived for so long, he saw things differently. Yes, the ever-present threat of the shade and the oncoming night meant everyone had the right to bear arms. Well, arms that could fight the shade, at least, which excluded things like shot spikes and rapiers. But that didn't mean one needed to risk their life to prove themselves. If you knew you were strong, that was enough. But tradition said otherwise.
"You're not ready to compete in the lists. I already do. Not the city lists. I'm fairly good with a sword, old-timer. One of the best in the village. I've practiced with my brother since before I could walk. A good foundation, but nothing compared to the precision that comes from being taught by a master. I'm not saying you're a bad match for most in the city, but that's because most know they'd get eaten alive by professional duelists. I still might win. You have a spare sword on you?"
Peridon looked confused.
Yeah, of course. There's three in the trunk." "Stop the wagon. Dalin, I said stop the wagon."
Peridon did so.
"Grab one of your spares and help me down."
Peridon stared at him, and Dalin scowled back. That got him moving. Dalin's scowl could turn a shade. Peridon was also probably being more accommodating than he would have been otherwise due to the money. With some difficulty and help from Peridon, Dalin managed to get off the wagon. His legs still felt strong, thanks to the bringer's healing.
"Give it here,"
Dalin said, holding out his hand. Peridon handed him the long sword. The sword was old, and Dalin could tell by the state of the hilt and scabbard that the blade would need a good oil, but it would do. Dalin drew the blade and threw the scabbard aside.
"Dalin, what under the light are you doing?"
Dalin ignored him. It felt right to hold a sword again, and yet it was distinctly heavier than he remembered. He had grown so weak. Dalin had once been a grand high master of the sword, not that he would tell Peridon that. It was the highest ranking level in the world, and no more than 50 people were alive at any given time who had attained it. With how frail Dalin was, he would be orders of magnitude from the ability worthy of that rank. But he still possessed the knowledge and experience of the rank, along with the added artificial energy from his recent healing. More than enough to deal with this misguided snot. Dalin breathed in deeply and forced his body to move. He walked with a much stronger gait than before, though he knew he would pay for it later. That was the thing about being frail. Moving slowly and hobbling wherever he went was a way to conserve his strength. Not that he couldn't force himself to exert more strength when he wanted to. It just took more effort and was bad for his body. This was going to hurt.
"Dalin, what is this about?"
Peridon said as he followed him to a clearing in the shrubby field. Dalin pointed the sword at Peridon and said, with steel in his voice,
"Peridon, I challenge you to a duel."